Ecclesiastes chapter 10, I'll begin at verse 1. This is God's holy and perfect word. As dead flies give perfume a bad smell, so a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, the heart of the fool to the left. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, as I mentioned before, I prayed there, Ecclesiastes 10 is this collection of proverbial sayings, the wisdom of God in Proverbs, and we see its wisdom that's revealed to us in different areas of life and different aspects of life. As you read through this entire chapter, you see a different context in which wisdom can be displayed, in which folly and foolishness can be displayed as well. Last time, from the first verse of chapter 10, we considered how one small momentary, perhaps foolish thing can spoil a person's good reputation. How a seemingly brief or small lapse in judgment can in many ways ruin a life. And how seriously we ought to take that truth. But as we think of the potential of a ruined life, of a spoiled reputation that we learned of there in verse 1, where does the issue really begin? Where do we need to look to see why things like that happen at all? And in the next two verses here of chapter 10, the preacher, Solomon, goes right to the heart of the problem. The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. Verse 2 speaks of the heart of both the wise man and the fool. And even in verse 3, it's a bit camouflaged there in the New International Translation. Even the King James in verse 3 says, the fool lacks sense. The King James says, his wisdom faileth him. Literally, the Hebrew says, his heart is lacking. And so in both verses 2 and 3, our attention is drawn to the issue of our heart, the inner man. Boys and girls, what goes on inside in your mind, in your thinking, in your emotions, in your will, everything that makes up who you are really on the inside, the heart, this is where the preacher is pointing our attention. Both verses trace the matter of and the issue of wisdom and folly to the heart. And how often haven't we together seen this in Scripture? Especially as we've just recently gone through that study in the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. What we do is important. External things are important. But it all flows out of the heart. If we really want to get to the heart of the matter, we need to get to the heart, our own heart. And when, as we're praying for others and praying for real things in their lives, like the reputation, things of verse 1, it needs to go to the heart. We need to pray for heart change. That's why we pray, because only God can change the heart. But that's what needs to happen. Heart changes. Solomon says, a wise heart inclines to the right, literally is at his right hand. Now, commentators vary on what this could be referring to, but generally the right hand is that image, that picture of strength or orderliness or beauty, as one commentator says, while the left is generally the picture of being opposite to those things. And so wisdom inclines a person's life, wisdom in the heart inclines a person's life to good things and to blessings, strength, order, beauty. One commentator paraphrases it this way: wisdom leads a person aright. Folly leads a person astray, to the right or to the left. You know, sometimes we see someone who, from a biblical point of view, isn't living a life rightly before God, isn't right with God, doesn't consider God, doesn't fear God, and yet their life seems to be going well. Their lives seem to be inclining to the right, to good things. But folly leads a person astray, and if it's not seen in this life, it will certainly be seen in the life to come. Think of that successful farmer in the gospel. Seems successful, didn't he, in so many ways. He's called the foolish farmer, but really from the world's point of view, he must have looked quite successful. He must have seemed very wise. The Bible describes him, Jesus describes him as a rich man. He's done well. He's had a good crop, so he's skillful and successful. But in Luke 12:19, when he says, "I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Even if in this world people look at it and say, "Wow, what that person is doing, how they're living, that's good and right. Because look at the good things in that person's life." No, ultimately right and left are with respect to Christ, aren't they? And Christ in the judgment. Matthew 25, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Wisdom, the heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. That's because, as we see in the next verse, in verse 3, the fool lacks sense. And again, the Hebrew there says, his heart is lacking. His heart is lacking. He may not be lacking in the things of this life, what people can see. But here is the diagnosis. His heart is lacking. That's a tremendously important biblical word as I studied it in recent days. It means, that word lacking, it means to be in want, to be in poverty, to have a great need. It can mean to have a physical lack, like if you don't have food, you will be hungry. You can lack food, and so the result is that you're hungry. Proverbs 13:25, the righteous eat to their heart's content, but the stomach of the wicked goes hungry. The King James there is more accurate. The wicked shall want. It's the same word. They shall want. So it can speak of an empty stomach and the consequences of having an empty stomach. But it's a picture of a spiritual issue. Boys and girls, you know what it is, maybe a little bit, to have an empty stomach. And sometimes you may come in from outside or whatever. Maybe it's been a long time. You've been at school and you come in and you say, "I'm starving." We were never allowed to say that when we were at home. We were allowed to say we were hungry. We were never allowed to say we were starving, because we weren't. But you know a little bit of what it is to have a grumbly, tumbly stomach, right? A rumbly in your tumbly, as Winnie the Pooh says. And you know how disconcerting that is. You're hungry and you want something. You know that something's wrong and you need something to fill your stomach to make the problem right. You're lacking something and you need something. But that's just a picture. You see what God's word is saying of this person who's called the fool. He doesn't just have an empty stomach. Sometimes fools do, because they don't live wisely in their lives. But his heart is lacking. he's got an empty heart. What a sad picture that is. Proverbs 6:32. You know, we go through the book of Proverbs. So many times this word lacking is used, and it all comes from a heart that's lacking. Proverbs 6:32, a man who commits adultery lacks judgment. Whoever does so destroys himself. He's lacking judgment. His heart is lacking. Proverbs 7:7, I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. His heart was lacking. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. Over and over, it's this lacking heart, a lack of wisdom, a lack of discernment, a lack of judgment. And that manifests itself in someone's life. Proverbs 24:30, I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds and the stone wall was in ruins. Sometimes it becomes very evident in someone's life. They're lacking wisdom. They're living, thinking, and acting foolishly. Their heart is lacking, and it just translates into a life that's full of lack and want and need. A lacking heart, a heart in want of wisdom. But it doesn't always look like that, does it? As we've said before. A man may have a lacking heart and yet seem like he lacks nothing. This is the subtle thing that we have to judge rightly about so that we don't lack discernment and lack judgment. Ecclesiastes 6:2, we've already seen, God gives a man wealth, possessions, and honor so that he lacks nothing his heart desires. But God does not enable him to enjoy them, and a stranger enjoys them instead. This is meaningless, a grievous evil. That just shows that there's someone who can be lacking in their heart and yet lacking nothing that their heart desires in this life. But the things of this life are not the issue. Storing up for yourselves treasures on earth is not the issue. That is an extremely short-sighted, foolish way to live and to think. Revelation 3:17. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, poor, pitiful, blind, and naked. It's our hearts and what they're lacking. That's the issue. This word for lack or want in the Hebrew, if you trace it through the Greek translation of the Old Testament into the New Testament, we see it in several passages in the New Testament as well in terms of the Greek equivalent of the word. Strikingly, I think, Matthew 19:20, the young man, the commandments of God. The commandments are mentioned. He says, all these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? What do I still lack? Go and sell all that you have. He was still a coveter. He kept the commandments in some way externally in his life. He seemed like a good, righteous, upstanding person. But Jesus puts his finger on a heart issue. He says, what do I still lack? He thinks he has everything to be right with God. What do I still lack? And the question that Jesus, or the point that Jesus puts his finger on that man's life shows to him, because he goes away, it shows that he lacked everything. His heart was lacking. You know, this is the same word, strikingly again, that's used in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's a lack, there's a want in each one of us. We all lack spiritually. Our hearts are lacking. This great lack, this great emptiness, this great want or need is only filled in Jesus Christ. Augustine, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. Only filled in Christ, the one who is God's, in God's grace is our wisdom, 1 Corinthians 1:30, in our redemption. In the gospel, God blesses his people in their hearts, at the core of their life, so that everything flows out from that heart transformation. He deals with this issue of a lacking heart, so that the child of God can say with David in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's the same word. In any good way, we don't want, we don't lack anything. We have everything we need for life and godliness in Jesus Christ. Our hearts are not lacking. We're not perfect yet. But God has given us means to give us what we still lack, means of grace. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. The lacking heart, remedied in Jesus Christ. But we continue to seek Christ day by day, so that what remains lacking, what we still need in this life before we're glorified, comes from God in Christ as well. As we pray and as we pursue the means of grace from God, our lives can be like that picture of that we read about in 1 Kings 17:16. The jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry. It's the same word for lack. It did not lack. It didn't run dry. Constantly being refreshed and refilled. That's what our lives can be like in the gospel. Only through faith in Christ. Boys and girls, says only through faith in Christ can we have wisdom from God, because Christ is wisdom from God. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. So when we read this about the heart of the wise inclines to the right, the heart of the fool to the left, the fool lacks sense, his heart is lacking. There can be external, practical, temporal ways that that's worked out, but ultimately it's a spiritual issue, and it's remedied in the gospel for this life and for the life to come. It's our heart that's the issue. And what's in our heart will show itself in one way or another. What's in our heart will show itself. This verse 3, listen to it again. Even as he walks along the road, so it's picking just everyday life. He's living his life. The fool lacks sense. His heart is lacking. But then this last clause, and shows everyone how stupid he is. His life speaks. Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks and his life speaks. And it tells everyone he's a fool. Years ago, we had a friend, a family visiting us from Northern Ireland. And we were driving home from Niagara Falls. We had taken them to see Niagara Falls. And we had one of their sons with us, Nathan Nelson. Rachel's here this summer, Rachel's little brother. He was visiting from Northern Ireland. And he was telling us about things that he had just experienced back at home. And he told us that he had gone to a circus. The first time in his life, he went to a circus. And for the first time, he had seen clowns at a circus. And as a mature beyond his years, six-year-old, he said to us from the back seat, "That clown did some very foolish things indeed. That clown did some very foolish things indeed." His life, what he was doing, showed that he was a clown, a fool. You know, I think maybe part of the wisdom here and the point here is that everyone could see it so clearly. Here's a little six-year-old boy saying, that was very foolish, those things that clown was doing. But that's the way it is in life so often. Others can see things so clearly. It can be so obvious to those around us. We hear people speak about life, and we hear them speak about themselves. Maybe it's someone at work or someone in your neighborhood, a neighbor, and you're talking to them about things. And some of the things that they say and some of the things that they come out with, we see them live their lives and some of the choices that they're making and the priorities that they're making in their life, living their lives with their own wisdom, with no regard for God, and we can see it so clearly. We say, what a foolish way to think and live this short life before God. Even as he walks along the road, the fool lacks sense and shows everyone how stupid he is. Of course, ultimately, it's not what we think, what others think, it's what God thinks. The whole world can think someone is wise. If God calls him a fool, he's a fool. It's God's opinion that matters. And we need to ask that of ourselves tonight. What does my life say to God? What is my life saying to God as I walk along the road of this life? The life that is flowing out of my heart. What does my life say about my heart? And what is my life saying to God? What is God's read of the life that flows out of my heart and my thinking? Are you someone tonight who is showing God how stupid you are? Because your heart is lacking. Sometimes you may even see it yourself. You may see it. Other people see it clearly. But there may be times when you see it. Maybe you've been reading your Bible. You're being convicted. Now, again, we remember this is true ultimately of a believer versus an unbeliever, but it crops up even in the life of a believer. Now and then when we lack wisdom and lack discernment, lack judgment at one time or another. Maybe we're convicted in reading a Bible passage. Maybe we hear a sermon and for that moment there's that clear sense of conviction. We say, what have I been doing? How have I been living? What have I been thinking? Then what happens? James 1:23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Everyone else can see it. God can see it. Do you see it? Do I see it? By God's grace, we need to come many times before God and say, Lord, I have been a fool. My heart has been lacking. My heart is not inclined to the right. I've sinned and my heart is lacking. In your grace, for Christ's sake, forgive my sin. Give me a new heart, a wise heart inclined to the right. And as I said, I think there's a great practical application here, even for believers, because we still can think foolishly and we can act foolishly in many ways. And when we do, this is where I just came away with the greatest conviction myself out of this third verse. When we do, it is often more obvious to others than it may be to ourselves. We may not want to see it. That may be maybe on purpose. But it's often more obvious to others than it may be to yourselves. Everyone else can see it. Everyone else can see it. It's as plain as day of this man. Even as he walks on the road, he shows everyone how stupid he is. Everyone else sees it. We need humility. We need humility. Maybe other people are seeing something that I am blind to. I am not seeing my situation objectively so often because I'm in it so closely and intimately. And of course, we have the blessing of the perspective of God's word. But God's word may come to us through God's people. And so Paul in Ephesians 4:15 speaks of speaking the truth in love. When we do that, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Do we want to hear what our brothers and sisters in Christ see? Here's this man. He's walking along the road. His heart is lacking, and his life is showing it, and he is showing everyone how stupid he is. Does he want anyone to come and talk to him about that? Would he appreciate someone coming alongside saying, listen, this is what I see, and this is what God's word says. You can see it clearly. Everyone can see it. Do we want to hear what our brothers and sisters in Christ see? Children, young people, sometimes your parents see things in your life that really show a lack of wisdom. And everyone sees it. But you don't see it, or you're refusing to see it. Will you listen to them? Or will you always turn away saying, you know better? Parents, sometimes our children see things in us, and they see it more clearly than we see it ourselves. And all of our kids know. They see it. Husbands, our wives see it. And we don't want to hear about it. Wives, I can speak more from a husband's perspective, but I'm sure it's a two-way street. Do we listen if they tell us? You know, often the case is we react so badly to people speaking into our lives that often they simply stop letting us know what they see, even if it would be for our own good. And the people around us that love us and would tell us for our own good go away feeling like Balaam's thrice-beaten donkey until God opens their eyes. Would we really want to be that foolish and self-wise when everyone else sees how stupid we are, and we won't listen? The messenger may not always be wise in how he communicates the message. That's true. But does that mean what he says is not true? What in my life has been saying to others how stupid I am? How my heart is lacking in wisdom. Lord, please give me ears to hear and a heart inclined to the right, a heart that is not lacking in wisdom, the wisdom found in Jesus Christ and his word. Amen.